Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
My guest today is Today FM's, and I should say OTB Sports Desk's, Phil Egan. Is that your correct title?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're just Phil. Yeah. Just one of my mates, Phil, that we've been together now for, as he said, 14 years, apparently. However, like, we went to the same school.
Yeah, we missed each other, though.
Yeah, you were... Was I finished when you started?
Yeah, I think...
Or were you in first year?
I think you went out that summer. When did you finish?
93.
Yeah, I came in 93.
See how
I
young
missed
you
your captaincy.
You
were the school captain, weren't you?
School captain that year, yeah.
Still talked about you.
Oh, listen, I've no doubt they did, and not in glowing terms. But it's not about me today, it's about you, Phil. Where did the love of sport come from?
It's just at home. Definitely
your,
my dad.
Your dad, yeah.
Just so... My dad is from Offaly, and... He would have brought me to Croke Park to watch the Offaly Hurlers, who there's a bit of a resurgence there at the moment.
There is the under 20s. Maria's shouting from the rooftops about the Offaly Hurlers, aren't you, Maria?
Yeah,
she's nodding there.
Ufalia, the faithful county, yeah. So when he started bringing me to games late 80s, I actually remember it was there the day they lost to Antrim. And like that was a massive blow for Offaly. And in fairness, they applauded the Antrim players off that day. But then the 90s, my first All-Ireland final that he brought me to was the Limerick final in 94 when Offaly beat them, came back.
So was it just Offaly hurling or
Offaly
did you
hurling,
ever go to...
Ireland internationals, obviously. I can remember Euro 88. I can remember watching the Ireland-England game with my dad and obviously Ray Houghton scores very early. Imagine, like, as an adult now, in a position, if Ireland are 1-0 up in England in their first ever game in a major tournament... I would be psychotic.
Like I'd watch football with Phil.
I'd need to be in a room on my own. So I can only imagine what my dad was thinking. And there's me probably every few minutes going, "Is it over yet, Dad? Is it over?" It's like, shut up, son. Yeah.
Just watch the thing.
Yeah. Then Italia 90, like I remember that so well.
Right.
And he started bringing me to games off the back of Italia 90. So the first game I went to was Ireland-Turkey,
nice.
Which was the Euro 92 qualifiers. Ireland beat them 5-0.
Remember that?
John Aldridge scored a hat-trick. And I just remember thinking, this is class.
Ireland are unbelievable. We're going to win everything.
We are putting everyone under pressure.
And then how did that transfer into you getting a job as from being a sports reporter?
Yeah, like the sport thing was just, I always watched football and hurling, Gaelic football, anything. And I played everything.
That was my next question was, what sports did you play and were you any good?
I was always kind of one of those. I was all right. I was never great at any of them.
Well, what did you like? What did you enjoy?
I played a lot of tennis when I was younger. I played snooker. I played Gaelic football. I played hurling. I played soccer.
Did you do rugby in school? Because Phil and my boy went to a rugby school.
I had to do rugby in school. It's not that I don't like rugby. I was about 4'2". And it wasn't fair.
Scrum half?
Well, actually, they put me out in the wing.
Oh, okay,
I used to just pray, just don't pass me the ball. Like, I was quick enough, but I was like, if I pass the ball, I'm going to get absolutely
minced
by one of the bigger lads.
Yeah. And then, was there no sport that you kind of, you know, you had a shot? Was there a chance that you were going to be a pro at anything?
No, definitely not. But I enjoyed playing all of them. And I think you learn a lot from, obviously, there's individual sports I mentioned there.
Mm.
And then there's the team sports. So you kind of pick up a lot of things and... Also, as well, it definitely helps you understand if you go to a sporting event and people are always like, how did he miss that? Or why couldn't you do that? It's not that easy.
And like, you're excellent at knowing, it's like, I can throw any sport at you if I want to get you on the show and go, get Phil in and ask him to tell me about the Bulgarian Tiddlywinks second division. Like, I know that you know.
Yeah,
see. But like, are there sports and you don't know, no other sports are listening, are there sports you just go, ugh, I couldn't be bothered either watching or covering or whatever, I have to do it for my job?
No, I think I would sit down and watch anything. Now, there's certain sports obviously I wouldn't be as strong on, and say for example something like horse racing, I'm not a gambler.
Okay.
Never have been.
Right.
I don't come from a horsey background, but I could still sit there and watch Cheltenham, like when Rachel Blackmore was like having that incredible Cheltenham, like you watch that and you're like, wow. But I'm not going to Nace on a on a Saturday afternoon.
On a drizzly Saturday afternoon. And then what about now in your house, right? So you're married.
Yeah.
Like, are you constantly watching sport, talking about sport? Or, like, is this a bone of contention? Is everything okay at home, Phil, is what I'm wondering.
Yeah, no, like my wife doesn't like sport at all.
So...
And, But in a way, that's not a bad thing.
Oh, listen, my wife doesn't listen to my radio show, and that's a great thing because I talk about her all the time. She doesn't know anything, so it's great. But no, I get that. I get that opposites thing. But like, are there no conversations about sport?
Oh, there is. I mean, even now we were talking about the stuff this week with the Girls in Green documentary, and we were just talking about I was watching it. And my wife happened to walk in near the end of it and she was like, that looked pretty heavy. I was like, yeah, but it's something I think that had to be shown and had to be watched. And then I was actually just saying to her during the week, I was disappointed with how obviously the team are playing tonight against England and it's not on any of the back pages today because it's been overtaken by the appointment of a new men's manager. And that took 231 days to appoint a new manager. And I thought, what was another few days?
To let the Ireland-England game happen.
You know, yesterday was the first time that Eileen Gleeson got to speak since the documentary. And within an hour of her doing her interviews, then the press conference was being for Heimir Helgason. So that was kind of disappointing. But yeah, we wouldn't talk sport that much in the house. But as I said, that's not a bad thing, where you can kind of switch off from it as well.
That's fair. You need to organise a quiz off with George Hamilton, like they used to do on Know Your Sports as a text. I'd put my money on Phil. When does anyone without knowledge Phil? Should be confident?
George is legendary.
He's legendary, there's no doubt about it, but you've got the knowledge,
I'd
Phil.
Say he's probably forgotten more than I know.
Let's talk about the fact that we have an opportunity tonight with the Irish women's team to beat England on English soil. It looks unlikely, as these things tend to do with some of the best teams in the world when Ireland tends to play them, whatever gender or whatever sport it is. But how do you think we'll do this evening?
Well, it was interesting. I played a clip there of Eileen Gleeson at 11 saying, like, you can't go toe-to-toe with England. Yeah. Or any of the teams in the group. So France and Sweden are in the group as well. Nightmare of a draw, but the beauty of getting promoted to League A was we were guaranteed a playoff regardless. Now, it's important in terms of seeding how tonight goes and how the game against France on Tuesday at Porky Creek goes, where goal difference could come into it. I'd be honest, before the group started, I didn't think we'd win a game. And that's not a reflection on
us being... so tough.
You couldn't have picked a tougher group. Well, if you had put in Spain in, maybe instead of France.
But that's about it, though.
That would be about it. So I think, 2-0 it was at the Aviva back in April. What was encouraging that day was the second half performance. So,
agreed, yeah.
But as Eileen Gleeson said in the clip that I played, can't go toe-to-toe for 90 minutes. You have to pick your moments. Mm. It's a strange time to play as well because the season's over. Even the last round of games was in June.
Yeah.
Those games were out of season as well. So I don't know what kind of condition our players or the English players are going to be in.
That's interesting.
England need the win because they're still not guaranteed top two. The top two go automatically into the Euros next summer. Now, look, even if England finish third, they're going to beat them.
They're
going to
beat whoever they'll do. Yeah.
But I think what I'd be looking to see if we could score. We haven't scored in the group yet. We've done everything but score. There's been chances where... I think back to the Lily Ag chance against Sweden. Not that I have hair, but you'd be pulling it out going, how did that not go in? But I said, if we could score, and I wouldn't hold out much hope for us getting a point or a win, and especially Katie McCabe's not playing either.
Yeah, she's banned, yeah. Look, we'll see. Well, best luck to the girls in green. Heimir Helgason, as we said, has been appointed the new Irish manager. A lot of fans going, who? But, I mean, some of us remember him from his famous victory against England. What do you think?
I remember watching that game in Paris with my colleague Stephen Doyle.
Yeah.
It was the day after we had lost to France in Lyon.
That's right.
And we ended up watching it with an English guy. And even by the end, he was laughing with us going, we've just lost to Iceland. All you can do is laugh.
Yeah. What about him as a manager, though? What do we know much about him?
Well, we obviously know that, you know, he did very well with Iceland. He was the joint coach for that. And then he brought them to the World Cup as the standalone manager in 2018. They had their moments in that as well. Fairly, as he said, yesterday at his press conference, it is going to be kind of back to basics and try and develop that. But he's only got a 17-month contract. But I think people need a bit of a reality check. I don't know what we're expecting in terms of who we could attract.
Right.
There was mentions of Roy Keane, but you see the salary figure.
I think that seems to be what he intimated in that stick to football stuff that he does. You know, he was saying, Gary Neville was asking, were you talked to by people? And he said, yeah, he goes, I was, but like some of the offers just aren't there. And I do think that's the case, is that, you know, Roy comes from a situation where, you know, he's been well paid his entire career and expects to be well paid. Yeah. And Ireland aren't in a position to pay managers the levels of, you know, even Roy Keane, who's been out of the game in terms of management for quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I kind of felt sorry for our new manager sitting there yesterday in the middle of all the politics that's gone on around the fact that it's taken so long to get an Ireland manager, a replacement for Stephen Kenny. And then, you know, you had the FAI saying one thing and you're kind of going, is that actually true? Because, you know, you were talking about appointing a manager in April. You know, he was the Jamaica manager up until a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Even though the Copa America is finished this weekend, so we were kind of told, oh, it'll be after the... We were waiting until after Copa America. It all just seems there's like...
A bit messy, I think, is very the messy. Politest way to describe it. But his first game is going to be against England in September. And England were one game away from becoming European champions. How do you think it's going to go on Sunday?
Spain are a far better team. Mm-hmm. They've been the best team in the tournament by a long stretch. They beat Croatia handy in their first game and they've kept it going. They've taken out Germany. They've taken out France. England have been on the other side of the draw, the easier side. That's not their fault. I mean,
Just go where you go.
You thought France would botch things up against Poland and end up on the harder side of the draw. They were meant to be on England's side of the draw. England were good in the first half against the Dutch the other night. Now, I didn't think the Dutch were very good, but they tweaked things in the second half. So I would think Spain should win. But one thing they've done, they've dominated games and they don't put enough goals away. So, you know, if they're 1-0 up, as a few minutes ago, you have, say, the option of throwing on Ivan Toney and just putting balls into the box.
Absolutely.
England have this knack of being able to come up with goals when they need them. So I would be saying that my head says that
Spain
should do it. But if England win, I wouldn't be surprised. So I don't know what that'll be like on Monday morning coming into that.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, see, the thing is, I have a bit of a double-edged sword here in that I'm against Maria in the work sweepstakes. She's Spain and I'm England. So I'm kind of, to be honest with you, I've got my King George's cross. I can't help myself. I hope football's coming home, Phil. You know what I mean? There's a message in from David Nolan. Says, we always have Today FM on in the car. And over a year ago, my son Dara, then 6 years old, asked out of the blue, what's a flabegan? We couldn't understand what he was saying until a few days later he repeated it in the car at the end of the sports report by Flabegan, Philip Egan. Yeah. Anytime he does the sports news, we always say, there's Flabegan. Yeah, there he is now. And Dee says, Dave, will you please tell Phil he has an amazing voice? He'd be great at reading sleep stories and doing meditation. Would you consider a career change, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what I do, if I put people to sleep. And I would do the... You see them doing the CBeebies where they...
Oh, that's right. They read the bedtime stories. Yeah. You do that, yeah.
Well, audiobooks. I always think when I listen to audiobooks, I think, that'd be a nightmare to record. Do it again. Yeah. Do it again. Do that chapter again.
Quick fire round before you go, Phil. What are you currently obsessed with?
The Euros.
Really? Has it lived up to what you thought it would be? Because a lot of people go, every team's been kind of crap. The football's been crap, whatever. Like,
probably too many games in terms of, like, players play too many games now, so the energy levels aren't there.
Yeah.
But you get that in tournaments. I mentioned Italia 90 earlier. Ireland didn't win a game at Italia 90. And they got to the
quarterfinals.
Yeah. We drew 3 games in a group.
Spain won a World Cup by winning every game 1-0.
Yeah.
You know, it can happen. Who's the most famous person in that phone of yours? There's got to be some sporty people in there.
Ooh.
Got Roy Keane's number?
No, don't have Roy's number. A few former Ireland managers.
Go on. Give us one.
Well, obviously, I would have. Like, Brian Kerr used to be on the show with us.
Yeah, Brian Kerr.
Great lads, yeah. I actually remember I had our previous manager, Stephen Kenny, was all set to do an interview with him to kind of look back on his season with Dundalk. And then he got the Ireland 21s job, which we knew he was going to go into the senior role, so that interview never happened.
Right.
But I did send them a good luck text.
Fair play. Think back to when you were in school and you were about 8 years old. What was in your lunchbox?
It would have been corned beef sandwiches.
Quality.
Can't eat them now. With a bag of crisps and a bit of fruit, which I probably tried to swap to some other kid to get a bit of chocolate.
Not enough treats in given by by the Egan parents. And the final question I ask everybody, Phil, because I don't, is do you wash your legs in the shower?
Yeah.
Simple enough way to end things. Philip Egan, thank you very much for taking the time, or should I say Flib Egan. Thank you very much for taking the time coming in.
Thank you.
Enjoy the Euros at the weekend. Enjoy the Irish women's games this evening. Thanks a million for coming in, Phil.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.